Thank you, Pastor Troy. Turn your Bibles again to the book of Psalms, please, Psalm 92. As you turn there, I have a special prayer from a verse here. This is my prayer for First Baptist Church. It's in 3 John. Do not need to turn there. I'd like to read it for you. In 3 John, in chapter, only one chapter, of course, verse 2. John said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." That's my prayer for you during 2020, that you may prosper in two ways. First of all, physically, then also spiritually. How was it for you physically in 2019? Many of our people had good health. Many had struggles physically. Many out of the hospital, going to the doctor. But I pray that it be different for you in 2020. But how did your soul prosper in 2019? How was your walk with the Lord? How did you do spiritually? How successful were you in your Christian life? In 2019, how was your personal life in your victory over sin and temptation? In 2019, how was your personal walk with Christ, your devotions, spending time in prayer and reading God's Word? In 2019, how often did your cell phone go off during a service? not too long ago, mine went off, so I understand. In 2019, how was your witnessing? How many people did you lead to Christ? How many times did you share Christ with others? How about your home? How'd you do as a husband? How'd you do in your relationship and your love and your support for your wife? Wives, how'd you do 2019 in your relationship with your husband and your prayer and support for him? How about being a parent? How'd you do as a parent for your children, as a grandparent? How did you do? On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being a complete failure, 10 being successful in every area of your Christian life, where would you put yourself? What number would you give yourself? How many are grateful for a new year? A new beginning. A year with no mistakes. A year we can give afresh and new to God. I want to talk about that this morning. Our theme for 2020 is called fresh oil. Fresh oil from God. Look at our verse together, please. In Psalm 92 and verse 10. David said, "But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil." Anointing of oil is mentioned several times in the Bible. It's not mentioned, not practiced much today. But it's mentioned 20 times in Scripture. According to how it was used, it symbolized different things. First of all, it symbolized being set apart unto the Lord. In the Old Testament, they anointed the high priest of Israel. In Psalm 30, verse 30, I'm sorry, Exodus 30, verse 30. "And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office." It was symbolized setting something apart to be used of God, something holy, sanctified for him. The high priest and his descendants were anointed with oil to mark them as wholly set apart to the Lord. They also anointed men who served as kings of Israel. In fact, you would hold your finger, let go of Psalms, hold your finger, excuse me. Go now to 1 Samuel chapter 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10, page 439, if you're using a church Bible. A few moments ago, I gave Pastor Bloom the wrong page number because I gave the page number of my Bible, not the Pew Bible. But this is the right page number, 439. We're going to see who was the first king of Israel. It was Saul. And when he was chosen by the people to be king, God sent Samuel to anoint him. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1, look what it says. It said, "Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, 'Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?'" So this was the symbolic of setting him apart to be king, to serve God as the king of Israel. It also happened to David. When David became king, prior to that time, look over in chapter 16, please. Chapter 16. Saul was the first king because of the disobedience. God rejected Saul and chose another man to be king. His name was David. God told Samuel, I want you to go to the house of Jesse. And one of his sons I've chosen to be the next king of Israel. And as soon as he walked in the family, he saw one of his sons. His name was Eliab. Eliab was tall and handsome, stout, a man of men. And said, surely this is God's anointed. God says, nope. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And he said, do you have any more sons? He said, I have another son, but he's out. He's watching the sheep. He's not the one you want. He says, send and get him. Look in verse 12, please. 1 Samuel 16:12. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look up to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. In the Bible, David was anointed three times as king. First of all, as God's authenticity upon him as the next king. He was anointed later on by the people in 2 Samuel chapter 2 as king of Judah. Then 2 Samuel chapter 5 as the king of Israel. He was anointed three times. Each time was a sign of being set apart to be used of God in a special way. The next way that anointing oil was symbolic, it was symbolic as an abundance of God's blessings. It was symbolic of the abundance of God's blessing. Many of you know the 23rd Psalm. In verse 5 it said this, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. The word anointing thy head with oil is an allusion to a custom of anointing the head on a festive occasions. It was an indication of divine favor, of prosperity, and of joy. Thirdly, anointing oil was symbolic not only of a way to set a person apart unto God, of the abundance of God's blessings, a favor, but also symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Symbolic of the Holy Spirit. If you're still in 1 Samuel, go down to chapter 10 again. We're seeing that when Saul was anointed, it was symbolic of the Spirit of God coming upon him. 1 Samuel chapter 10, look in verse 6. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6. We saw in verse 1 when Samuel anointed him as the next king, the first king. In verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy it with them. And it says here, and shalt be turned into another man. It's amazing what the Spirit of God can do. It make us in a different person than what we are. And here is this anointing him with oil, symbolic of the Spirit of God coming upon him and making him a different man. Look in chapter 16 and verse 13. A verse we read before, again talking about David being anointed. 16 verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, talking about David in the midst of his brethren. And notice what it said, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So basically, the anointing of oil was symbolic. Symbolic of God's separating them unto a service special for God. Symbolic of God's blessings. David experienced the favor and blessing of God. He said, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup what? Runneth over, the abundance of God's blessings upon his life. That was symbolized by the anointing of oil. And thirdly, it was symbolic of the Spirit of God coming upon a person. Came upon Saul when he became king. Came upon David when he became king. From that day forward. That was the anointing of oil. But now David talks about the anointing of fresh oil. The anointing of fresh oil. Psalm 92 verse 10, our key verse. He said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Now, if you would go back to Psalm 92, please. I want you to notice something. Back to Psalm 92. David had experienced God's favor and blessing upon his life. But he wanted fresh oil. Look in, if you would, please, in Psalm 92. Look in verse 14. David experienced God's favor and blessing and God's power, and he... In verse 14, he talks about now he's old. As an old man, he's looking back on his past life, what he experienced as a child of God. In verse 2, it talks about David had experienced God's kindness and God's faithfulness. Verse 2, it said, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every day. David had experienced God's faithfulness, God's kindness. He said, I want to expose that and share that with other people. He also knew God's mighty works. Look in verse 4. For thou, O Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands, O Lord. How great are thy works. Again, David speaking from experience. He experienced God's faithfulness, God's kindness. He knew the mighty works of God. But also, David had battles with God's enemies. Look in verse 9. In verse 9. For lo, thy enemies, O Lord, for lo, thy enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. So here David is looking back on his past life. He said, God's blessed me and favored me in my life. I've experienced his faithfulness, his kindness. I've experienced his mighty works. I've experienced battle against God's enemies. But now David wants fresh oil. He wants fresh oil. He says in verse 10, but my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. The word horn there, when David said, my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn, the word horn talks about strength. David wanted God's strength afresh and new in his life. He said, my strength shall be like the strength of a unicorn. Unicorn refers to an ox or buffalo, very powerful animal at that time. That's something he prayed from God. Then David desired afresh and anew the abundance of God's blessing and God's strength and power in his life. He said, anointed with oil. Here's what Matthew Henry said about this verse. This verse speaks of a fresh and renewed strength to revive and enable David to do what God has called him to do. So David, what he's doing, he's looking on his past life. God's been so kind to me. God's been so faithful to me. I've seen his mighty works in my life. I've seen his battle against enemies, defeat against the enemies of God. But he says, now I'm old. He says, I want fresh oil. I want to see his blessings afresh and anew in my life. I want to experience his power anew. Did you know 2020 marks my 40th year of being a First Baptist Church? I have seen God's blessing upon my personal life. I've seen God's blessing upon my ministry, my marriage, my family. I've experienced God's strength through the ministry, God's power. But how about you, like David, I want fresh oil. I want to see God work afresh and anew. I don't know how much longer I'll be here. The deacons asked me, Pastor, when you plan to retire? I said, I don't know, maybe in my 70s. But I want my latter years to be better than my previous years. I want fresh oil. I want God's blessing afresh and anew in my life. I want God's power upon my life as never before. I want fresh oil. We talked about the anointing of oil. We talked about fresh oil. You know, David had God's blessing upon his life. David had many victories, but David had some defeats too, didn't he? David had many failures. So David says, God, I want your blessings afresh and anew. I want your power upon my life as never before. How many of you want fresh oil for 2020? How do we have fresh oil? How can we have God's blessing as never before? How can we have God's power upon our lives? Write this down, please. First of all, we need to understand the Holy Spirit's presence. We need to understand the Holy Spirit's presence. Go with me now to John chapter 14. In your New Testament, John 14, page 1512. Pastor, how can I have fresh oil? How can I have God's blessings never before in 2020? How can I experience his power, his strength in my life as I live for him? First of all, you need to understand the Holy Spirit's presence in your life. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit's presence was temporary. He would come and go based upon task or deed. For example, remember Samson? In his life, the Spirit of God come upon him. He become very strong. He defeat the Philistines. A whole army, one man defeated him. He would pull up the gates of the city. He defeated a lion barehandedly because of God's power. The Holy Spirit come upon him, but also leave him. It was a temporary presence. In John 14, it speaks about the difference of the Spirit's work in the Old Testament compared to the New Testament. John 14, look in verse 16, please. It said, I will pray, Jesus speaking, I will pray the Father that He shall give you another Comforter. Who's that Comforter? Holy Spirit. That He, notice the Holy Spirit is not a power or force, though He has great force, great power. He's a person. That He may abide with you for how long? Look at me, please. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come and go. It would not abide with a person forever, based upon deed or task, based upon their lifestyle. But now that you're saved as a Christian today, the Holy Spirit's presence is not temporary, it's permanent. That He may abide with you for what? Forever. Read on. Even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, for He dwelleth with you, and notice future tense, and shall be what? This was prior to Pentecost. This, the Holy Spirit's work during this time was the same in the Old Testament. He said, now He dwells with you, but He shall be in you. The Old Testament, He would come and go. His presence is temporary. In the New Testament, since the day of Pentecost, His presence is permanent. Remember when David sinned with Bathsheba? In his prayer in Psalm 51, what did he pray? He prayed this, cast me not away from Thy presence. Take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. David saw the Spirit of God fall upon Saul and leave Saul because of Saul's disobedience. Now, David was extremely sinful, guilty of adultery and murder. And he's crying out to God, take not my presence from me. Take not the Holy Spirit from me. Because the Spirit of God would leave. But now, after Pentecost, today, the Spirit of God would dwell in you forever. Not based upon your need or task or behavior, forever. He said the Holy Spirit is with you, but He shall be, future tense, in you. Go with me, will please, to 1 Corinthians. I believe the verse is on the screen, but turn with me because I want you to see the context. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, please. Here we see the Spirit of God's work in the life of a believer since Pentecost. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want you to see the context. Remember, David, because of his immorality, was fearful that God would take away His Holy Spirit. Because God did that in the life of Saul. But notice now, here are these men in the church of Corinth. I want you to notice their lifestyle and what Paul said to them concerning the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look with me in verse 15, please. He says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of what? What a great truth. When you trust Christ as Savior, you are placed into the body of Christ. And you become the members of Christ. But read on. He goes on to say, shall I take the members of Christ and make them members of a what? Harlot. Here are men of the Church of Corinth, believers, who are having affairs, immorality with harlots. Verse 16. The latter part of verse 15. Shall I take the members of Christ and make the members of a harlot? God forbid. What know ye not that he that is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined in the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Then he says, look with me in verse 19. Those men that were having affairs with the harlots, he says, what? Know ye not that the Spirit of God would leave you because of your sin? Does it say that? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. Look, please. He didn't say the Spirit of God is going to leave you. He says He's permanently in you. Shall you take the members of Christ, the temple of God, and join it to a harlot? God forbid. What I'm trying to say, if you want fresh oil in your life, you need to understand the presence of God. In the Old Testament, He would come and go as temporary. But since Pentecost, He's going to abide with you, not till you sin again, forever. These believers involved with immorality said, don't you realize you're taking the temple of God, where God dwells, and joining to a harlot? He never threatened to take away His Spirit, because the Spirit is in them forever. What a motivation for a holy life. The Spirit of God. So you need to understand His presence. But also, you need to recognize we have God's power. Go with me now to Luke 24, please. Luke 24, page 1483. Because you have the Spirit of God living in you, you have the power of God within you. Luke 24, 49. To have fresh oil, we need to understand the presence of God. Through His Holy Spirit, we need to understand we have the power of God within us because of His Holy Spirit. Luke 24, 49. Again, this is prior to Pentecost. He's talking about something yet future, but notice what he says. He said, "And behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you," talking about the Holy Spirit, "but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Notice the term given to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is called the power from on high. He said, I want you to go to Jerusalem and tarry there until Pentecost. At that time, when the Spirit of God comes upon you in a permanent way, you shall be endued with power from on high. Christian, you realize within you, you have the Spirit of God, which is the power from on high. The very power that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you. You have His power. Acts 1:8 says, "And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." The word endued there talks about to be clothed upon, has the idea of sinking into a garment. Now that you're saved, the Spirit of God's indwelt you, and the Bible says you have the Spirit from the power of on high living inside you. The indwelling of the Spirit is synonymous with God's presence and God's power. The third thing you need to do to have fresh oil is to desire the Holy Spirit's control. Desire the Holy Spirit's control. We're not going to turn there, but you can see it on the screen. Ephesians 5:18. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, please look up here. There is so much confusion between the filling of the Spirit and the indwelling of the Spirit. It sounds like the same, does it not? The indwelling is what God did. When you trusted Christ, the Spirit of God indwelt you. Your body is now the temple, the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. That happened to you the moment you were saved. No place in the Bible are you commanded to be indwelt by the Spirit of God. You know why? Because you are. As a Christian, no place are you commanded to be baptized by the Spirit. You know why? Because you are. No place you're commanded to be sealed by the Spirit of God. You know why? Because you are. But you are commanded to be filled. The word filled has the idea of being controlled by, influenced by. He says, be not drunk with wine, wherein excess. How many of you have seen someone drunk? They walk funny. They talk funny. They behave differently under the influence of alcohol. That what it means here, when you're under the influence and control of the Spirit, you'll walk different. You'll talk different. You'll act different because you're under the influence of the Spirit of God. This indwelling is a one-time act, never be repeated, because He's going to dwell in you forever. But the filling can be repeated over and over again. Every day we ought to get on our knees and cry out to God, God, fill me afresh and anew today. He's inside you. The word fill me now means be controlled by, control me today in a special way. Here's what a Bible commentary said about Ephesians 5:18. Paul is not speaking about the Holy Spirit's indwelling or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because every Christian is indwelt and baptized by the Spirit at the time of salvation. Rather, he's giving a command for believers to live continually under the influence and control of the Spirit. When you were saved, you got all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get. He's a person. The question is, how much of you does He have? That's the difference. The Holy Spirit's a person. You cannot have half of a person. He indwelt you. You're His temple. You got all of Him you're ever going to get when you are saved. But the question is, how much of you does He have? That's the idea of filling. He wants to control your life. Having fresh oil today speaks of the fresh and a new filling of His Spirit. With His filling comes God's blessings and experiencing His strength and power. You have the power. It's called the Holy Spirit. But do you experience that power in your everyday life? Let me give you three ways to have the filling of the Spirit. Let me give you three ways how to have the fresh oil in your life. This is accomplished, first of all, by brokenness and humility before God. By brokenness and humility before God. Turn with me, if you will, please. Everybody turn with me to Isaiah 66, please. Page 1060, Isaiah 66. Here's a wonderful verse talking about God's favor upon a man's life. Isaiah 66. For me to have fresh oil in 2020, for me to be filled with the Spirit of God, I need to be broken and humble before God. Isaiah 66, verse 1. What an amazing verse. And one phrase I like for you to underline or highlight in here. In verse 1, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that thou would build for me? Where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand have made, all those things have been, saith the Lord." But, look at this phrase. "But to this man will I" what? Talking about look with favor. Look with blessing. What kind of man or woman does God look with favor? Read on. "Even to him that is of poor and a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word." How did you do spiritually in 2019? Many would say very successful. Some would say, well, some success, some failure. If you want fresh oil, if you want a fresh new filling of the Spirit, it begins with brokenness before God. "God, I failed. I've made mistakes. I had victories, but I have failures." You need to be broken and humble before God. In fact, look at the end, chapter 57 of Isaiah. Isaiah 57, verse 15. Again, talking about God's blessing upon a man's life. Isaiah 57, 15. "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I will dwell in the high and holy place." But read on. "With him also," with him individually, "with him also that is a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones." My friend, do you feel like you need revival for 2020? Here's how to have it. It comes with a broken, contrite spirit before God. Acknowledging your failures. Acknowledging you had what you've done wrong. Fresh oil comes through brokenness and humility before God. Number two, the second thing required for fresh oil is pursuing pure lives. Pursuing pure lives. Confessing and forsaking all known sin. Tonight we have the Lord's Supper. It's a time we can examine our lives, see if we can make sure our life's right with God, and confess the sin and forsake it. Number three, the third one is yielding to the Spirit's control. Yielding to the Spirit's control. Surrendering to God's will, obeying His word. Being filled with the Spirit is living in the conscious presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting His mind, through His word, dominate everything that is thought and that is done. Being filled with the Spirit is the same thing as walking in the Spirit. Galatians says, "Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." How many want fresh oil for 2020? My friend, look up here, please. It begins with brokenness and humility before God. To acknowledge where you failed. To acknowledge how you've done wrong. Asking for forgiveness. It also requires pursuing purity in your life by acknowledging, confessing my sin before God. And next, yielding to His control. Christian, you have the power within you. But that power wants to control your life. He will not do that against your will. You must yield to His control. I don't know about you, I want fresh oil. I need fresh oil. I want God's blessing as never before upon my life, upon my ministry. I want the next few years to be better than it ever been before. So I'm crying out to God for fresh oil. Fresh oil. Fresh oil. Let's close with one verse and we'll be done. Go now to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Here's a verse that talks about salvation. Talks about what the Spirit of God can do in your life when you trust Him as Savior. We're talking about having God's blessing afresh and anew. His strength and a power afresh in our lives. Here it talks about what the Spirit of God does when we trust Christ as Savior. 2 Corinthians 5, look with me in verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Look for the word new. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in what? This talks about a relationship with Jesus Christ. That when I put my trust in Christ as Savior, I'm placed in Christ. But he said, therefore, if any man be saved, we talk about it, if any man be in Christ, read on, he is a what? A new creature. Literally means a new creation. If you want 2020 to be a fresh and new year with God, it begins with salvation. When you trust Christ as Savior, the Spirit of God comes in, regenerates you, and makes you a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. He comes and brings out great changes in your life. That's where it begins. So if you never trusted Christ as Savior, if you want a new year with Christ, it begins with salvation. You trust Him as your Savior. But if you are saved, maybe like David, you look back in life, God's blessed you. You saw His mighty works. You've seen Him do great things. But if you're like me, I want a fresh oil. I want God's blessing afresh and new. I want 2020 to be like never before. For my life, for my marriage, for my family, and for my ministry. How many say, Pastor, I want fresh oil? I hope that's your prayer too. Let's bow together, please. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, please. This morning I've been speaking to those of you that know Christ. So like David, you've seen God's faithfulness, His kindness, His mighty works in your life. And you've seen God do great things. 2019 might have been a year of success, maybe a year of failure. But maybe like David, you want fresh oil. You want a freshness of God's blessings, a freshness of His strength and power in your life. It comes through a contrite and humble spirit. It comes by pursuing holiness and purity. It comes by yielding to the Spirit of God who lives inside of you, to His will and His word. And I pray that it will be your desire today. But if you're here today and you're not certain heaven's your home, you're not certain you have eternal life, you're not even certain that you have a relationship with the God of heaven, that all begins with God's salvation. God loves you just the way you are. God loves sinners. He hates our sin, but He loves sinners. He hates our sin because our sin separates us from Him. But that which separates us from Him, on the cross, Jesus Christ took upon Himself. He took our sin upon Himself, and the Father punished Him for what we've done wrong. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And if you would realize that you're a sinner, that you cannot save yourself, and trust Christ as the one who died for your sin and paid your sin debt, and trust Him to be your Savior, He'll forgive you and give you eternal life. He'll make you righteous in His own sight. Therefore, being justified, declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God. So if you've never trusted Christ, would you do it right now? Would you take God at His word and trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior? You say, Pastor, I've never done that before, but I'd like to do it today. Why not tell God that? Why not talk to God right now in your own thoughts? And maybe say something like this. Just say, dear God of heaven, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. And because I've sinned, I've earned. I deserve your punishment. But God, I believe that Jesus, your Son, was punished in my place. I believe when He died for me. He died to pay for my sin. He was buried, and I believe He rose again. And right here today, I'm trusting Christ to be my Savior. Realizing I cannot save myself, I'm trusting Christ to save me, to forgive me, and to give me eternal life. My friend, if you did that this morning, you trusted Christ, by the Spirit of God, you've been placed in the family of God, in the body of Christ. You have become a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. But if you're here today and you have trusted Christ, I pray it's your desire that you might have fresh oil in your life. Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for all you've done in this church and our lives in the past. But Father, I pray for each one here today that we'd all desire as your people fresh oil. We desire that fresh and new of your blessings and favor upon our lives and your strength and power in our everyday walk with you. Lord, we pray that you'd give that to us. Even today, we ask in Jesus' name, amen.